The son of Nestor pondered how to do it properly, see it through. Pausing a moment, then this way seemed best. Swerving his team, he drove down to the ship tied up on shore, and loaded into her stern the splendid gifts, the robes and gold Menelaus gave, and sped his friend with a flight of winging words, "Climb aboard now, fast! Muster all your men before I get home and break the news to father. With that man's overbearing spirit, I know it all too well, he'll never let you go. He'll come down here and summon you himself. He won't return without you, believe me. In any case, he'll fly into a rage." With that warning, he whipped his sleek horses back to Pylos City and reached his house in no time. Telemachus shouted out commands to all his shipmates. "Stow our gear, my comrades, deep in the holds, and board at once. We must be on our way." His shipmates snapped to orders, swung aboard, and sat to the oars in ranks. But just as Telemachus prepared to launch, praying, sacrificing to Pallas by the stern, a man from a far-off country came toward him now, a fugitive out of Argos. He had killed a man. He was a prophet, sprung of Melampus's line of seers. Melampus, who lived in Pylos, mother of flocks, some years ago, rich among his Pylians, at home in his great high house until he was made to go abroad to foreign parts, fleeing his native land and hot-blooded Neleus, most imperious man alive, who'd commandeered his vast estate and held it down by force for one entire year. That year Melampus, bound by cruel chains in the halls of Phylacus, suffered agonies all for Neleus's daughter Pyrrho. That and the mad spell of fury murderous spirit cast upon his mind. But the seer worked free of death, and drove the lusty bellowing cattle out of Phylacy back to Pylos. There he avenged himself on Neleus, for the shameful thing the king had done to him, and escorted Pyrrho home as his brother's bride. But he himself went off to a distant country, Argos, land of stallions, his destined home where he would live and rule the Argive nation. Here he married a wife, and built a high-roofed house, and sired Antiphates and Mantius, two staunch sons. Antiphates fathered Oicles, gallant heart. Oicles fathered Amphiaraus, driver of armies, whom storming Zeus and Apollo loved intensely, showering him with every form of kindness. But he never reached the threshold of old age. He died at Thebes, undone by a bribe his wife accepted, leaving behind his two sons, Alcmaeon and Amphilochus. On his side Mantius sighed Polyphides and Clytus both, but Dawn of the Golden Throne whisked Clytus away, overwhelmed by his beauty, so the boy would live among the deathless gods. Yet Apollo made magnanimous Polyphides a prophet, after Amphiaraus's death the greatest seer on earth. But a feud with his father drove him off to Hyperesia, where he made his home and prophesied to the world. This prophet's son it was, Theoclymenus his name, who approached Telemachus now and found him pouring wine to a god and saying prayers beside his ship. "Friend," he said in a winging supplication, "since I find you burning offerings here, I beg you by these rites and the god you pray to, then by your own life and the lives of all the men who travel with you, tell me truly, don't hold back, who are you? Where are you from, your city, your parents?" "Of course, stranger," the forthright prince responded, "I will tell you everything, clearly as I can. Ithaca is my country. Odysseus is my father. There was a man, or was he all a dream, but he surely died a wretched death by now. Yet here I've come with my crew and black ship out for news of my father, lost and gone so long." And the godlike seer Theoclymenus replied, "Just like you, I too have left my land. I, because I killed a man of my own tribe. But he has many brothers and kin in Argos, stallion land, who rule the plains in force. Fleeing death at their hands, a dismal fate, I am a fugitive now, doomed to wander across this mortal world. So take me aboard, hear a fugitive's prayer, don't let them..."